Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man. It is Dukes and Bell, and for some parts of Metro Atlanta, a rainy Tuesday. We got some showers rolling through Midtown here, high atop Peachtree. At Colony Square, it is Dukes and Bell inside the Kia Studios, man.
Coming up, we'll hear from Dave Archer, guys, in about 20 minutes. Arch stopping in studio today, and we had a chance to visit with him. Good stuff on the Falcons and what went down at practice today. I just think, you know, we've been very lucky with no bad news, to be quite honest with you. I'm talking about injuries and whatnot. I mean,
thanks for jinxing it.
No, not at all. I think there are a lot of teams who are already dealing with this kind of stuff. But we've been very lucky, man, and that's one of the things that you talk about when you say, well, what do you want to do when you come out of the preseason? We got 4 weeks of preseason football before we get to that Thursday night September 6th game. Mike, anything can happen. You can step off a curb and get hurt. So I think that's good news for the Falcons, as most of the guys that you're counting on have been accountable and available for practices. And
well, not that you just said
no,
that.
Not yet. I mean, no, not yet. Why? What are you guys so afraid of, man? Why are you guys?
What are you doing?
What are you guys so afraid
this
of?
This is the worst thing in the world you could ever say on a radio show.
What are you talking about?
I
didn't know this show had that much power.
Yeah, and lightning. You know what? Lightning just struck right there, right over your shoulder. If that's not a stinking omen, I don't know what is.
All right, so who is it then? Let's pick and see who's going to go down.
No.
Since you guys believe that.
Is there any way to rewind this audio, please?
Not at all. Listen, there are other teams dealing with it. We are lucky. Every year, you coaches go into the preseason saying, hey, we just want to come out healthy. It's no secret. So when we talk about the things that they've been working on, and we'll hear from Arch coming up in about a few minutes here, but when we hear about all these things they're working on, man, I just hope they implement some of the things that we're seeing. That's what I'm getting to. You can't do all of this if you're not healthy. You can't do all of this if guys are not available, which brings us back to the whole roster thing. You brought up Switzer being the right guard. I don't know what that means. I think they're just rotating guys, first team, second team. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody has a clear advantage right now, whether it's Fusco or Switzer.
Yeah, as we said, guys, I mean, it's only – Carl just laid it out. Just week one against the Jets. Now, Switzer, I think I saw all I needed to see last year. I mean, is he going to get
physically – You don't think he's improved?
Going to get physically bigger or better? I don't know. I mean, we wouldn't have given Fusco – I mean, look, it's by current NFL contract, it's a pittance. But, I mean, to give a guy a three-year, $12 million deal – as opposed to a guy who's still on his rookie contract in Switzer. I don't know. I mean, I saw Switzer get pushed around. It didn't help that Schrader was out for a couple of games early in the season. You know, but I saw enough. And then Garland also had to go in there and fill in for Levy. We need more depth. That's why you and I know you, I think, agree with me on this. We all wanted to maybe see us go down that road and pick up an offensive lineman in this draft, early in the draft. But then, of course, Calvin Ridley, you couldn't pass up. And then Isaiah Oliver, you couldn't pass up either.
Yeah, I think quality depth is hard to find. When you start talking about how much of a fall-off is there between the starter and the guy that has to come in and replace him for whatever reason, that's hard to find. And, Mike, we say this, every team has warts. Some teams are better at covering them warts up than other teams. I mean, everybody's not great across the board at every position, but you wouldn't know it. When you watch the NFL, you're going, well, what's their weakness? Every team has one. Mm-hmm. If I asked you that with the Falcons, you probably would say depth, because that's the concern. I think our starters are great, but I think every team faces that in the league where you go, man, if he loses this guy. Who was it you just brought up yesterday? The Cardinals losing their center?
Yeah, they lost A.Q. Shipley is the center.
ACL, right?
Yeah, so he's done for the year. That's a guy who hadn't missed a game for two seasons for the Cardinals. And they've also got a young quarterback that, you know, could be Rosen after Sam Bradford shows that he's got nothing left. But, I mean, you're right. Everybody's got their issues. You know, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you know, they've got some issues there in the secondary. We were able to exploit them. Think about how we were able to score points against them in the passing game. Real quick on the depth. Second year, by the way, because we talked earlier today, just to kind of compare and contrast, mentioned Max Fried. You know, Max Fried's had 6 years in the minors, a number of years now in the Braves organization. Waiting to see what he did. He got another injury, 10 days DL. Sean Harlow, drafted, what was he, fourth-round squid? Fourth-round draft pick, Sean Harlow out of Oregon State. Go back and check it out. See, I forgot
what is
it wrong.
What is Harlow now? Though? What
yeah. He's not competing for the guard job. That's what he's not doing. So, I mean, these are pieces which you need to pan out. I mean, unless you feel the fourth round picks are, you know, disposable or nominal.
No. They all matter. I think you're right about
Harlow. He's fourth rounder out of Oregon State.
Yeah, I think you're right. And again, he's been drafted, it's two seasons now?
And this is his second year in the NFL.
Okay. And that's another guy. I'm not sure what Harlow is as far as how effective he can be with our team. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Want to hear from you. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We've been talking about a lot of stuff today. Braves lose. We'll get to that coming up in our top three. And also more about Ricardo Allen, who signs a three-year $19.5 million extension. We'll let you hear from Ricardo also coming up in our top three stories. Real quick, Braves tonight, they're playing a day-night doubleheader. They lose, but tonight it's Sean Newcomb. We really hadn't heard anything from him since that whole Twitter thing. Tonight, he rolls out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are you expecting?
I need him to give me seven innings. How about that? Give me seven. Because, as we said, Max Fried got up to a decent start. And then, as we said, a comebacker hurt his groin. So he's out 10 days. And then you had Kobe. And Kobe Allard came in. Boy, oh, boy. Speaking of young pitchers. Now, he's younger than Max, but he was horrible today, man. Yeah. He was throwing volleyballs up there.
Yeah, he is. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. Again, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Let's get to the top three, Craig.
Time for Dukes and Bell. Top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
What you got?
Oh, I love her. Melissa Bryant just hit me up, and she's like, Dukes, I can't unhear it. Take it back.
I told you.
She's talking about injuries. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Melissa.
Stop saying it. Will you stop saying the word injuries?
No, why? What are you guys stop afraid of?
Stop saying it.
What are you guys afraid of?
Lord, please. I need a voodoo doll
you
in reverse.
You guys are such chicken blanks. If I ever seen any in my
life.
You know
what? Next time you use the I word, hit the dump button.
If I ever seen anybody in my life,
no,
give me a break.
You Nostradamus. Okay, do I need to rewind you to 2015? We start 5-0.
It was not my fault
in
2015.
You started to look
team
ahead.
Team starts 5-0?
Yeah.
Give me a we didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, because you made a stupid pronouncement
about
seeing some bumps coming
I didn't even come hard until week six. And then things fell apart. Let's talk about what's going on the field. Ricardo Allen signs a new deal. Let's hear from Rico, man. Congratulations to him. He says, Mike, this is not going to affect him as far as going to his head. I don't think he's that kind of guy, but here's what he said.
That ain't in my blood. That's just I've never been comfortable, man. And like, even if I start to feel comfortable, man, I listen to a lot of, like, podcasts and stuff like that, and I listen to people that say, like, you know, don't eat your favorite meal every day. You know, like, even if it's cold, if it's too cold in your room, like, this world is so known to being comfortable all the time. We're going to get up and get the best, you know, temperature in the room and stuff like that. You got to do small things on a daily basis that you might not want to do, but you just teach yourself to be used to being uncomfortable.
All right. And listen, now that he's been taking care of the next guy, at least we think, is Grady Jarrett. I'm looking at the list of guys, and I'm going, okay, who else? Jake's been taken care of. Matt. They're going to reevaluate Julio. They just took care of Rico.
I mean, Grady, the thing is with Grady, I mean, he's so important to this defense. You don't want to lose him, right? We love the guy's work ethic. We love everything he does. I think he's another good guy on this team you don't want to see go. But
I think he'll be here.
When does he get the deal, though? Are you going to do this later in the year? Like Schrader's deal was done with about three or four weeks left in the season once?
I think all these deals we've seen outside of the Julio moving money that was owed to him forward, which is what happened, were planned.
Right.
I think all of these deals, even Ricardo Allen, even though it didn't happen when we thought maybe earlier in the offseason, I think they planned for this, Mike. I think that was budgeted. Matt's deal, even though they were talking and working about it, was budgeted. I don't know if Grady is this season. I think Grady is next season, and you got time. I mean, you can get through the year and go, hey, you know what, let's see what the cap is and adjust accordingly. But I don't think it necessarily gets done this year. But I could be wrong at the end of the season. We saw a couple of guys where that's happened.
So certainly. I mean, the Falcons, and this goes back to, and by the way, why will you guys get all you argued about Julio? Because they all budgeted for this stuff. They budgeted for these moves. They didn't budget for Julio necessarily. But, you know, I'm glad to see Rico's in there. Grady's up next. We'll see where it goes.
All right, man. Tack McKinley, by the way, ruled out for Friday, as well as Matt Bryant, Melissa. Ruled out.
Yeah, Melissa's all over you on Twitter now.
Yeah, she makes me laugh. Falcons have ruled out both of those guys. And Ty Sambrello, he's not going to play on Friday against the Jets. Tack won't play, but Tack is practicing. And I only mention that to say we'll hear from Dave Archer coming up now in less than 10 minutes about Tack McKinley and the defense. Hey, story number two is the Braves. You mentioned it. Another guy back on the DL, Max Fried, which is not what you want to hear. But really, you know, when you look at this game, it was Allard. Allard comes in. You need him in a pinch spot there to pitch well, and he just didn't.
No, he got lit up, man. A ton of earned runs and hits and a walk in there. Not good. Later on, I think it was Carl came in, and he was terrible late. So, yeah, the bullpen not doing it. Venters was actually clean this one. But, yeah, you need – and we were just singing the bullpen's praises just yesterday, you know, before this series started with the Nats. By the way, game two, Albies will not start. You're going to have Culberson in there. He's 3-for-7 career-wise.
Okay.
Or I should say this season. But Ozzie Albies is 1-for-11 in his career versus Scherzer. Do you like the move?
Ooh. Interesting.
Ozzie, you know, is a – you know, he's got – a lot of guys are 0-for-11 versus Scherzer.
You want your best players out there, don't you?
Scherzer's been on fire, so we'll see where that goes. So it's Acuna, Culberson, Freddie Markakis, Suzuki, Inciarte, Camargo, Swanson, and, of course, Nuke on the bump.
All right, guys. Remember, this is a four-game series with the makeup game, which happened this afternoon, basically. So now it's a three-game series. We'll see how the Braves do. But I want to see how this bullpen reacts and plays, at least as far as what Snicker's going to do moving forward. Brock has been good. Venters, for the time that we've seen him. Those moves haven't been – again, I don't even know how you evaluate that right now, Mike. I mean, is it a couple of spots to –
that'd be so far for Brock good.
Starts entrances or appearances, should I say?
Yeah, Gausman, we're going to see what he's more all about down the stretch. But you brought this up earlier. You know, you don't want to give Nationals life. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. What did we say? They were 7-3 of their last 10. Coming in now, so that's 8-2 in their last 10.
They're playing well.
You know, you got Scherzer in the nightcap. You know, no easy task. And now if you lose this game, you're two games behind the Phillies, and they can make it 2.5.
All right, man. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll be talking about it, obviously, tomorrow here on the show. This is a big series, guys, because you could put the Nationals in a situation where they are potentially, and let's just say they win the next three games, you know, 6-9 games out, potentially. That's tough to overcome.
Like I'm saying, let's just keep on trucking right now. The Nationals, 5 games
out.
Oh,
wait,
right
I shouldn't say that either. I might jinx the Braves.
Oh, will you stop it? Injuries are something you just don't mention.
I may jinx the Braves. Oh, the Braves are going to lose this series now. I just said that they could win the series.
Will you please, every time he says the I word, please hit the dump. You don't, you know
you mean
these
injuries?
Things. You know these things. Don't say
did you
that.
Say injury?
Stop saying that word. It's like Steve Martin. Dead men don't wear plaid.
You guys are terrible, man. Stop.
Don't say Cleveland.
Have some
He'll
confidence.
Make him go crazy.
Have some confidence. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. Story number three, guys, mm-hmm. as we've been talking today. UGA, we got a chance to hear from Jim Chaney and Mel Tucker. These guys actually talked. This is offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator for the Dogs. They actually talked at the end of last week. Now, for those who don't remember, Mike and I were at Stars and Strikes up in Buford. The whole Urban Meyer thing was blowing up Friday. Mm-hmm. We really didn't get a chance to play some of this for you. So we played it today during our dog report. But I do want you to hear what Jim Chaney had to say about the quarterback position and the battle.
We all know how polarizing the quarterback position can be. You know, everybody wants to know about that spot. And in my particular role, I worry about everybody. And every good football player we have, you try to find ways to get them on the field and utilize them. And right now, Justin battling at the quarterback spot, as is Jamari Saylor at the guard spot, and as is Luke Ford at the tight end spot, all that young group of kids that we brought in, they're all competing.
So is it a quarterback battle? No, but we're all talking about it because you bring in the number one quarterback in the country and Fromm takes your team to a national championship. It's intriguing. I don't think this is what Alabama's dealing with, Mike, with Jalen Hurts and Tagovailoa. I don't think this is the same dynamic at Georgia.
No, you want to see both guys in. Saban wants one guy to win the job. Other players, by the way, speaking of Hurts, were asked about it, and they said that there was closure. So whatever the coaches apparently told the players, whatever you think closure is, what do you think it means? Close your mouth, not to talk about it. Stephen A. Smith called out to Hurts for popping up. He thinks that Saban should bench him. Not sure where Steven's coming from that. The kid gave a straight answer to a straight question as opposed to giving the politically correct answer.
I thought it was okay to answer the question. It's not like, again, he held a press conference in the town square. One other story to mention, guys.
Yeah, you big dummy. Another example, the Florida Gators. They're just bad people. Antonio Callaway, 3 o'clock in the morning in Ohio, pulled over with weed. Small amount of marijuana, they say. NFL is looking into it. But, of course, he violates the NFL's substance abuse policy. He failed a drug test at the combine, was in trouble at Florida, involved in the credit card fraud case. So, Antonio Callaway, just doing good things.
It doesn't get any better. Here's a guy I thought that might get his blank straight, and he never did. Hey, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, harvest.
You ever watch those hunting shows? They don't say, like, when they're going to kill the deer, oh, that's a beautiful harvest. Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T. Yeah, let's go harvest that 10-point buck. Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, gets texted to 72881. Be careful in the rain, man. Don't text and drive.
All right, guys, coming up, Dave Archer. He stopped by. What's he think about the Falcons? What they're doing that really intrigues Arch. Find out what it is next. But we've been very lucky, man. Mike, anything can happen. You can step off a curb and get hurt. And
well, not that you just said that.
Not yet.
I mean,
what are you doing?
What are you guys so afraid
of? This is the worst thing in the world you could ever say on a radio show.
What are you talking about?
Now, don't you bring me no bad news. I say.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and as we approach the first preseason game with our Falcons taking on the Jets on Friday, our man Dave Archer hanging out with us here in studio today, and we wanted to grab Dave for a few minutes, Mike, to talk about a variety of things. I mean, listen, we saw the first week of camp, and there are a lot of things to talk about, but let's start with what impressed you most. What have you seen that you kind of went, wow?
Well, I think there's some things that probably from a layman fan standpoint, you're going to have to wait for it to happen in the game. But there's some pretty cool combinations that I see coming up from a play call standpoint, both in the field and the red zone from our offensive side of the football. Some of the ways they're using in combination the backs with the receivers, maybe a tight split from Jones and Coleman motions out of the backfield just beyond Julio. And then you stand up and you throw a quick screen to Coleman. Jones is in front blocking. Or you pump fake to Coleman, and Jones is running down the field with Ridley dragging across the front. Just little combination stuff that shows me that they're really using a lot of imagination to try to create opportunities for each one of these guys to get the ball. I remember playing – I was fortunate enough to be around Joe Gibbs in his heyday. And they had three guys to catch the football: Art Monk, Gary Sanders, Ricky Clark. And then they had a guy in the backfield named Kelvin Bryant. Okay. He would stay up at night, Monday and Tuesday night, to create opportunities, five opportunities for each guy. So you'd come in and say, okay, today this formation is this, and this is the way we're going to get Gary Clark the ball. And I don't know if they're doing that, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. Kind of they're getting the laboratory coats on and trying to create some stuff.
You recognize the voices. Dave Archer with us. He and Wes Drewham. We'll have the call from MetLife coming up on Friday against Gangrene. So we were at practice talking about the same stuff, all the media elite that was assembled.
Elite?
Looking at what was going down. But, just trying to get those mismatches, because I think you said it the other day at practice. I mean, there's so much talent out there. Calvin Ridley, Sanu, who's going to benefit from all these new tweaks?
Well, I think everybody with a team will. You know, when you've got that many guys, it can create problems. Now, think about it. If I'm a defensive coordinator and I go in and I watch tape on the Falcons on Monday, because that's when we start game planning. I'm going to put my defensive game plan together. And if I see the variety of uses for all these guys across the board, you know, what the hell are you going to do? Okay, you can't double this guy because that guy will kill you. Okay, do we play zone? Now Ryan wears you out, completes 35 passes in a game because you're playing a soft zone, just works the ball down the field. So it does create problems for game planning, because I've got to put together a game plan on Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday that I introduce on Wednesday. I can't still be coming up with a game plan on Wednesday. I got 2 days to get ready for these guys, and then I've got to give them as much information as I can, show them as many looks, draw as much stuff up as on cards that I can show them physically in practice that they can get a rep on. Well, if there's a variety of stuff, it makes it really difficult to rep everything. So now I got to go the basic stuff, and what are you leaving out? And that's the stuff that'll touch you on a Sunday.
Dave Archer joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk Falcons. There is a great piece that we're talking about today on the show in regards to Matt Ryan, and it's the first time that we've heard Matt talk about the pregnancy, the issues from last season. And if you've not checked it out, Mike and I have been talking about it today, but I want to get your opinion on this, because as I read through this piece, it's by Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. It points out that he's human. As he went through these things with his wife last year, we didn't know he's spending the night at the hospital sleeping with her while he's trying to get ready for that Eagles game. And I think it kind of puts things in perspective. Now, Matt didn't play bad, but it also helps us understand how much was going on and how he had to focus on the game, and it just gets to the growth of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think that you make a great point, Carl, in the fact when you start talking about the human side of it, we see them as these superheroes playing football, and you don't realize that they've got lives just like we all do. We all are dealing with stuff each and every day during the week. You and I both have kids, and there's things that go on there that you worry about. You know, is one of them sick? One of them's got something going on in school? Is there something going on with a boyfriend? Whatever it is, you've got those worries that supersede your work, but you still got to get your job done. So you can imagine him trying to play at the highest level with the fact that his wife is having this really difficult pregnancy, and are the kids going to survive? And frankly, I went through the same thing. We had twins that were prematurely born at 29 weeks. We were told that one of them was not going to survive. My wife went on bed rest at 15 weeks and spent the next 14 weeks on bed rest. And that's kind of some of the things that Sarah was going through. And then when they're born, now they've got heart monitors on them. They're trying to make sure that their lungs are fully developed. And this is all stuff that doesn't have anything to do with football. Yet you got a guy getting ready to try to go beat the Eagles in their building in a playoff game. That really magnifies kind of who he is. And I think that shows you how much he cares about both, obviously, his family, but how much he cares about his job as well.
Dave Archer's with us, guys. If you just tuned in talking about that, the Jeff Schultz article in The Athletic about Matt Ryan and everything that was going on in his life. All right, so now it's time for preseason. What are we looking for? Obviously, we don't want to see the starters go too deep after us bellyaching about Julio for all offseason. I mean, it is important to get a rhythm. Matt did tell us at a press conference the other day about the rhythm and the reps. It is part of the process.
Yeah, I will tell you, Mike, and I know you're very interested in how many reps they got at the back shoulder fade in the end zone.
I want to know.
They practice post-practice now. This was a player-run drill. So Ryan was with Ridley, Jones, Sanu, Hardy, and then both running backs. And they worked on red zone throws from like the 7-yard line, throwing back shoulder fades, front shoulder fades, pylon throws, wheel routes from the slot, all that kind of stuff. So they were working on that. But to answer your question, you're right, Mike. You're not going to see these guys for very long, maybe a series. If they went 3 and out, you might kick them back in there, but maybe not. This is going to be more about some of these younger players, and I'm not talking about Calvin Ridley. I think Ridley will play, but I'm talking about some of these guys that are maybe going to infiltrate themselves into Keith Armstrong's special teams units and stuff. I'm really going to be interested to watch that part of it because, remember, the rules have changed on the kick game, and you can't have the wedge, two-man wedge. You get this area where they have this set area where 15, I think it's 9 of the – of the 11 players or 8 of the 11 players have to be in an area about 15 yards from where you kick from. Only 3 guys can be deep, which eliminates wedges. So what does that do body-wise? Okay, am I going to have the big guy on the field? No, probably not. Now it's going to be more linebackers, safeties, covering kicks, and also blocking for the kicks. So it's going to be interesting to see how much that changes because you're going to be playing more in space in that area. So that's what I'm looking for, those guys that are going to step up and help contribute in that area, as well as obviously contribute on defense and offense.
Arch, we had a chance to talk to Brandon Fusco. It is Fusco, not Fusco. And we make jokes. But he seems to
we
be
all make jokes.
He seems to be a guy that gets it. He's happy to be here. He said he had a conversation with Kyle Shanahan before he came, and Shanahan was like, look, you're going to a great place. I think you can help those guys, and he's coming with the right attitude. Is he better than what we currently have on the O-line, and is he going to shore up the right guard spot is my question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's going to have to play out, Carl, during the preseason. I think that Quinn's been very adamant about the fact that both those guys are getting reps. We're talking about Schweitzer and Fusco, and Lavitre coming off injury as well. I mean, there's a little bit of a rotation in there, and also Garland sliding in some. Douglas is another kid that's going to factor. He can play center. So watch that interior four. It might not be the guys you think are going to play. And I think anybody that thinks that Wes Schweitzer is going to be the same player he was last year that he is this year, totally wrong. You can't be. He played 16 regular season games, played in the playoffs. He saw a whole bunch of stuff he'd never seen before prior to last year. He's going to be a better player, so he's putting up a pretty good fight for his job.
And just to follow up on Schweitzer, because we talked about it the other day at practice, I saw they had them both rotating left and right guard, and they do the cross-training thing. So you're saying is stop bailing on Schweitzer because he might just be important this year.
Yeah, I think that there's no question he's going to be important from a depth standpoint if he's not the starter, Mike. If Fusco does end up starting, you really like the guy that you're plugging in. Remember last year we had to plug Garland, and you thought, can he play? Right. Can he play guard? You know, we saw him play make a sack in a playoff game, but that's not playing guard. So, and he did okay, but now you've got some real depth.
It's Dave Archer with us here on Dukes and Bell. Him and Wes with the call as the Jets are taking on the Falcons on Friday right here on 92.9 The Game. So also, speaking of guys I've killed, Hooper, great draft class for tight ends, and they said stay loyal. And then we talked to Hooper. Carl did the interview where Hoops talked about literally he'd be at like Matt's front door like, you want to play catch? So he's putting the work in, you know, 500 catches and all that. Is that a guy where we expect him to see the touchdowns increase?
It has to, Mike. I think he has to step up, not only touchdowns, but even though we were number one in the league on third down on offense a year ago, he's got to help contribute in that area. And Matt's got to know that he can throw in the ball and the ball's going to be caught. We had a couple of instances where they were tipped off his hands, picked off. One ended a game for us. I believe the Miami game, we lost the Miami game on a ball that was off his chest down in the red zone going in. I think he's got to contribute in all areas, and he's got to step up his game. There's a couple of guys on this team that have to step up his game. He's one of them as a starter. I'm looking at Duke Riley. Riley's got to step up. He was drafted high. He's got to step up and contribute. Expect DeMonte Casey to take his game to another level as well. Tells you a little bit about, I know you guys have been talking about Ricardo Allen and his new deal. It says a lot about what they think about Ricardo, but it also is going to be interesting to see how they play that. Ricardo stays in the back end. Casey is a guy they love because he can get to the football. 15 interceptions in college. He's already made a couple picks. You guys were out there when he had the pick six for the touchdown in the scrimmage. He's a guy they'd like to get on the field because of his coverage ability and tackling ability. So now does Keanu Neal play nickel linebacker with a bigger body opposite Debo? And now Casey comes in as a dime player. So that's going to be fun to watch that matchup as well.
That's interesting. And here's the deal. Arch is saying we've got a lot of flexibility on defense, maybe as much as we've had in many years here with the kind of players that Quinn has brought in. You know, we talk about this versatility and guys playing different positions. We're not talking about that. We're saying in nickel and dime packages, which you're in a lot, 70% of the time, you have all these combinations that you can go to. We've not talked a lot about the defense. It's Dave Archer with us here on Dukes and Bell. I think that's a function of we all think this defense is going to be pretty good, right? Yeah. We've talked a lot about the offense, but we kind of all think, we hope, the defense is going to be really good.
Yeah, I think hope, you're kind of guarded. It was a top 10 defense for the first time in Matt Ryan's career as a coach or as a quarterback. He's got a top 10 defense. Now, how do we cash that in? They've got to improve in the red zone as well defensively. They got to. You need what you would like to see them do is climb into the top, may not be a top five numbers-wide, but a top five defense scoring defense. Keep people off of the board and improve on third down. Two areas, third down, red zone defense. Is right to see them improve. I know you guys have been talking a lot about Tack McKinley. He had a really good practice today, was very much involved in what was going on, was part of the rotation. So I know all of us were a little bit concerned, you know, because of the banged up shoulder. It was the one that had gotten hurt in college, but it was a bruise. It was not any kind of tear or anything like that. It was just a bruise. He was back getting after it, setting the edge, getting after the pass. So that was good to see.
Dave Archer with us here live. In studio, we were just talking about the pass rush yesterday and seeing, you know, Vic and Tack. How big a year is this for Vic Beasley? You know, to see, is he a double-digit guy? Does he fit? Because there's going to be one odd man out on these contracts at some point.
Well, I think that Vic has got to take his game back up to where at least you're seeing 8 or 10 sacks. Mm-hmm. Now, does he need to be 15 and a half like he was a couple of years ago? That'd be great. I think Tack's going to be more impactful. And watch for maybe a little bit better interior pass rush with Jack Crawford on the field. Jack's got a little bit of shake to him on the inside. Obviously, we know how Grady can create problems on the inside. I think if you start paying too much attention to those guys on the perimeter, and let's hope they create problems where I'm having to expend resources to take care of both Tack and Vic coming off the edge, or we can get some interior push. You guys talk about it all the time. How do you affect the quarterback the most? That's that interior push through guys, especially guys like Drew Brees.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Good to see you. And, guys, you'll listen to him on Friday. Of course, all of the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game throughout the course of the season as we are your official home of the Atlanta Falcons. Dave Archer, talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Keep laying it down.
Man, as much as Dwayne Wade is my favorite basketball player, as any man wearing capris, I'd be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, right, he's on. Right about that.
Right on, man.
He's right about that. What are you pointing your finger at us for, Craig? Oh, I thought you meant like we own him. We don't.
No, God, no. Wow, it's already started. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a no-go for men's fashion?
I don't wear no pink nothing.
So Jeremiah will not be honoring anybody who's a cancer survivor, apparently, during the fall this year.
Jeremiah, you won't wear like a pink tie? No?
Nope, apparently that's a no-go. No, right. No pink for Jeremiah out there in Villa Rica. Wow. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What's a no-go?
Let me see them super tight suede muscle shirts. I see one dude in Atlanta. His shirt was so tight on him, I saw his heart beat.
The tight T-shirts?
Yeah, let's leave Zeno out of this conversation. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
This down around Ansley Park on Sunday, the 1978 era bare midriff fishnet football jersey.
Are those coming back?
I've never be seen wearing that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, last time I wore that, I was 10, Carl. Remember that, like those tearaway mesh?
Yeah, it's been a while. Those used to be popular, though. Right? That used to be it, man.
Oh, dude, when I was 13, I had the matching, Carl. It was down in Tampa, and our neighbor worked for the Anheuser-Busch at Busch Gardens. It was a Michelob mesh shirt with matching shorts. Oh, yeah, I get all the chicks at the roller skating rink at that, man.
Wow.
Go to Astro Skate. Get all the girls in Tarpon Springs. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for a no-go for men's fashion?
Two words, guys. Russell Westbrook.
Anything that's worn by Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, listen.
Anything and everything.
Well, those NBA guys, you know this. They do their own thing. Who was it that came to the presser with the who was it? Was it LeBron or who am I thinking of?
Well, LeBron had the suit with the capri pants.
Yeah.
He had the suit with shorts, not even capri pants. They were just plain old shorts.
No, oh, no, it was Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. He had the fishing shirt. You remember that one?
Right.
With the fishing lures on. Oh, completely awful.
Unreal. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a no-go for a man to wear? That's you, man.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Your transmission's been blocked at the source, sir. Doink. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, I still wear Bugle Boy, and I use dial-up on my Tandy computer. Hi, Mike.
His Tandy computer. What was it, Tandy 2000?
Like Tandy 500.
Was it Tandy? Yeah, Tandy 500? The gaming on that Tandy,
Bugle
though.
Bugle Boy. Good call, man. Nice pull.
Wow.
Didn't somebody tell us a few months back that Zubaz is trying to make a comeback? Isn't that something we had talked about?
Are they?
I don't know. I had my pair. Yeah, I had my pair in 1994.
So, whoa. What, bro? Starter jackets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, now the starter jackets were – now that was the joint.
My buddy VJ is working for starter. That's my buddy is in the fashion.
Yeah.
That was his gig.
Wow.
He was doing those starter jackets.
Now, back in the day, I had my fair share of starter stuff, but I didn't know if it was coming back.
Satin jackets were the thing when I was a kid, too. Again, you know, Reagan was president. It's a long time ago. Hey, man, you're on the radio, Joe. What do you got?
Parachute pants?
Oh, hell yeah.
A man should never wear pants that Velcro to themselves.
Velcro.
So if you got Velcro in your gear, that's probably a no-go. How about the remember the old bike coach's shorts that your old coach in football would wear up around his nipples?
Yeah.
Those things would be so high, you're going to have to open his fly to adjust his tie. That was the joke.
Coach, can you get those any higher? Nope.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's a no-go for men's fashion in your mind. What do you got?
Skinny jeans. Never.
Yes, I'm with you, man. Now, is that dyed or is that still a thing?
No, it's still a thing.
Yeah.
I let mine hang, sorry.
So two dudes in Midtown, well, you know, that goes without saying, but they were dressed up like Pee Wee Herman, man, with the capri pants.
I was about to say, was that the start of a joke? I saw two dudes in Midtown.
No, Becky and I, you know, I was going to take a picture, but I was like, oh, hell, man, you know, it is what it is. You're on the radio, man. Oh, sorry, I hung up on you. Ah, you're on the air, buddy. What do you got for us?
Speedos.
Yeah, saw a lot of that over in Italy.
When you go on vacation overseas, that's the thing. In nude beaches, right?
Or if you're in like South Beach, because a lot of the Euro weenies will be in South Beach or the Brazilianaires, and they prefer that look, man. They don't wear board shorts like we do. Hey, man, you're on the radio, man. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
No brother, including CCB, should be able to walk around with a Nehru shirt or jacket on. You look at the pictures of Gandhi, he even sporting the Brooks brother.
Yeah, that's a good point. Craig, you don't have any of those, do you? Okay,
well,
just checking.
When the Mahatma initially was a lawyer, he wore a suit, and then later on he went to the traditional garb, technically, over the shoulder. But, yes, Nehru rocked his own style, Carl.
He did?
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got a good one for you. No grown man should be caught dead wearing a tall tee. Make love to the Armstead.
I can't, honey. We lost the first game of this twin bill. How's Dansby against Scherzer? I'm sure it's not too great either. Hey, man, by the way, Ozzie Albee's not starting tonight. It's going to be Culberson because Ozzie's not been good against Max Scherzer on the bump for the Nationals. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's a no-go for men's fashion?
Anything that's black and gold and says "Who Dat" on it looks really stupid.
Oh, I like that.
Where's that belly?
He's right, right about that. Now I'm going to give him some applause. Thank you, sir.
You got that right.
That's a good one.
Not on my watch, pal. Got time for one more, Craig? I got a jet. All right, we got two more here. Let's see. Let's go to line number three. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a no-go for men's fashion?
Cargo shorts.
Yeah, the big old baggy cargo pants, those things are gone, man. You get the big old pockets on that?
Yeah, I used to obviously own a couple of pairs of those. They had its run.
Our buddy David Hubbard rocks them on the golf course. He will play by society's rules.
Off the deck.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, no grown man should ever have his underwear come up above his pants.
A what?
His underwear should not come up.
Oh, yeah. Look at you with your pants on the ground.
Yeah, pants on the ground. He's right. Underwear is showing. That's not cool. Hey, appreciate you guys participating in our game winner, Things Men Should Never Wear. And Craig is the catalyst of that conversation
today. But
again,
we are going to give – it's the CCV Foundation, Carl. We'll get him some clothes.
Hey, man, we're going to clear our throats. We'll tell you what's coming up tonight on Andy Bunker. We'll also tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the show. Big Wednesday plan for you guys. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.